Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, we're about to go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And football is the name of the game. And because I am going to stretch, I'm going to stretch it to footy, the association football. The 2026 World Cup draw is happening today. In fact, it's just gone live. And I will be keeping track of it, ladies and gentlemen. So if anything important, especially finding out which teams will be playing in the great city of Houston, I will try and deliver that at some point in the show today. But we were just doing our question of the day, and joining us for the around the NFL, all of the fun in this hour is one Brandon K. Scott. Hey, man, first and foremost, your impression of LeBron James letting that streak go, and secondly, what is your longest streak?
Hey, how about LeBron James just making the right basketball play instead of being worried about the stats?
He's not clutch.
He's been accused of stat padding.
Yeah.
In the past, he is not stat padding in this situation.
He doesn't have the killer mentality.
And the part about the clutch that never made sense was sometimes the clutch thing to do is to resist the urge to take a bad shot and 100%. Make the right basketball play. That part was always overlooked. And I'm not here to defend LeBron any more than, I guess, than he needs to be defended. I mean, this streak alone, if that doesn't speak for itself, but that just stands out to me how making the right basketball play, there is pressure even just within that, and he has done that over the course of years. My streak, my longest streak, are the ones that I would say I'm most proud of. One similar to yours, I did fracture. I don't know if we count a fracture.
That's a break.
Okay. That counts.
Okay, so I did fracture my wrist in eighth grade, but that didn't require surgery. So instead of saying broken bone, one of my streaks would be that I've never had surgery outside of, like, you wouldn't count getting your wisdom teeth pulled as surgery, right?
If I was going to be obnoxiously technical, yes, but
no, I wouldn't.
No, I was a dentist.
They gave me the laughing gas or whatever it is.
That's dicey. That's right in the middle of it.
I'll give it to you. That's not surgery. I'll give it to you.
That's the closest I've come to surgery is getting my wisdom teeth pulled.
I had a vasectomy.
So that's surgery, right?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Tell me if you find this one as impressive as I did, and then we'll go to around the NFL. Well, one, somebody said, been years since I went a day without listening to 610. Appreciate you doing that.
That's a pretty nice streak. I like that streak.
Yeah. Somebody said, 6 years without losing sunglasses or an umbrella.
That's incredible.
That's wizardry.
That's also very specific.
But those are things that
I've never lost, man. Sunglasses or umbrella.
Those ones,
you wouldn't know if you've done that.
Though. Those ones get lost all the damn time.
Sunglasses, yes. Especially.
I would lose both. I've definitely lost both.
I have a question for you because I was actually trying to think, what's B. Scott's longest streak? And I thought of your hair.
Yeah, I've mentioned this on the radio before, but it's still a pretty incredible streak, I think, at this point. I have not had a proper haircut in over 17 years, since May of 2008. So we're approaching adulthood on some of the hair on my head.
It's almost able to buy cigarettes.
It's close. Well, I think you got to be 21 now to buy cigarettes. But if you were my age or any of our age from back then, yeah, you would have been old enough to buy cigarettes with my hair. So when I get carded,
my hair's older than you, look,
because first of all, whoever it is, you know, a lot of times working at these registers, they don't own the place. A lot of times it's somebody that I'm older than at this point.
Yeah.
Or if you go to Walgreens or something like that, and I'm like, hey, man, Listen, I was buying this stuff when you was pissing your pants. Excuse my language, but that be the truth. So yeah, I got the very end of the hair. You can see it on the YouTube and Twitch. The very end of my hair right here.
17 years
is
old.
Almost old enough to go to war.
That's right, to serve this great nation.
Yes,
that will be hosting World Cup matches. Sorry to keep bringing it up,
but I'm excited for this.
I as you can tell, I am as well. Yeah. I was excited also for Thursday Night Football last night. Lions, yeah. Cowboys, both with things on the line. And I will ask you guys as a question. I said that this is probably going to be the best Thursday Night Football game that we have had to date on this season. Did I lie?
You did not. That was a terrific game, man. That was a terrific game.
Yeah, I'd have to think back to all of them, but this is
Texans Bills play Thursday night as well.
Yeah, but you could feel it in this one, like the intensity and like the ramping it up.
Yeah, and I feel like there's some bias for me, at least, and I know we were all there for Texans Bills, but the fact that I was there probably takes it to another level for me, and obviously the rooting interest that is involved in that particular game. But I will say this, to the credit of last night's game, it was one of the few Thursday night games where I did purposely sit there and watch every single snap of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, normally I watch the Thursday night game pretty intently and pretty closely, but I don't make it a point to where I've got to watch every where I don't want to get up and go to the bathroom or get up and get something to drink while the game is still going on. Mm-hmm. That was one of these games where I didn't do any of that, and whereas I normally do that during a Thursday night game.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And then there's the whole George Pickens thing.
The George Pickens thing is the big story for me, because I've been just like marveling at the George Pickens performance throughout the season.
I was like, there's like three things you could say with the George Pickens thing last night, and I was marveling, wondering where we were going.
No, I meant so before last night.
Sure.
Marveling at what George Pickens had been or has been for the Cowboys. And then he shows up as Pittsburgh George Pickens in this game when they absolutely needed him to be the George Pickens that he's been throughout the season. And so it's like, man, wherever you go, there you are. You know, it's like a tiger can't change his stripes or whatever it is. It was amazing to see how, like, this exact thing that we know him for, like, just did it. Just straight up did it.
Are you saying, like, Pittsburgh George Pickens for, like, the people we're talking about, the route running?
The give up.
Yeah.
He has some of those routes consistently. That's kind of, like, baked into his game.
He gave up.
Yeah, but it's not – with this, it wasn't just the routes. It was the effort on the ball once he got there. Yeah, I did. I sat there and watched that, too. I mean, he had a point. Points were being made.
Let's listen to Richard Sherman.
The big story here is George Pickens. George Pickens throughout the game, especially late in the game, just looked uninterested in playing football. You know, and that's what you can't have. If you're going to be a superstar, if you want to be the best receiver in the National Football League, you can never be disengaged. It doesn't matter if the game's going your way or not going your way. You can't just disappear in these games or else you're not going to have impact. And just right here, cruising routes. You're the guy. You're the guy. CeeDee Lamb is not in this game. He's out, and you get intercepted on your slant routes, and you can't be the guy and half-ass it. And I'm sorry, that's just, you can't, it's unacceptable. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're looking at him and you're looking to pay him big-time receiver money, $40 million, you got to look at this tape and say, hey, is this a guy we can trust paying $40 million to show up regardless of circumstance? I don't know.
So we were literally, I went to my grandkids. They had the Cookies with Santa thing at their school.
Nice.
So I went over there, and then we went to eat dinner afterwards, and we were watching the game. And me and my two sons were literally having a conversation. Is he the best receiver in the NFL right now? And, you know, just in terms of how he's been playing, you know, the last few weeks.
Makes a case.
And so we were literally having that discussion, and we're looking at the TV, and we're like, nah.
not with that kind of effort. Yeah. But the thing is, like Reggie mentioned, the routes. Even sometimes when he dogs it on routes, you can still throw him the ball because of the catch radius and the contested catch ability that he has. And it was both things here. It was the bad routes and not being that big catch radius that you normally expect him to be. He was just, as Richard Sherman just put it, seemingly uninterested in playing football.
I think that's fair, but I think in this game, well, one, we had been doing all the, the Cowboys look like they are a lot better and improved, and maybe not as much as we were talking about. And if anybody was interested in the All-Texas Super Bowl, I think that is very much slid away, because I think the best record that the Cowboys can get if they win out is 10-6-1, and I'm not sure if that gets them in, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
That's what the NFC side of things looks like. I thought this game came down to three things, gentlemen. The effects of leaky special teams, because the Cowboys couldn't stop the Lions from returning. I think that Lions' average starting position was like in the 40s, like 43 or something.
Yep.
It was that. Poor situational coaching decisions, and then penalties. And tell me if any of those feel like they have opportunity to apply to the Houston Texans.
They do. They absolutely do. You know, we were talking earlier. I'm sure you were listening, B. Scott, about the kind of the explanation off of the last 2 minutes of the first half.
Yeah.
And such. No, you're absolutely right, Reggie. But I was just marveling at where did this come from all of a sudden with him? Because it's still, all that said, they still were. It was a one-score game late into the game, and they had a chance, and he just mailed it in.
Yeah, when Richard Sherman is right there talking about the game not going their way. Well, yeah, they were down, and they were against, I would say, improbable odds. Mm-hmm. But they were still right there in the thick of it and could have absolutely used him to be closer to the version that he's been this year and not the Pittsburgh version. When you say, where is this coming from? It's coming from, like, what, Pittsburgh? Yeah. Coming from a year ago? Like, yeah. it seemed like he had come there and at least gotten right to a certain degree. I know he had to sit out a series, and like Reggie mentioned, he still to this day doesn't always give the best effort on his routes, even to this day. But it seemed like they had found something, and then he just, you know, one step forward, two steps back last night.
I still think for him, like, what you get out of him is worthwhile, and I'll say it again.
Yeah, he's really good.
I think that they found themselves in, like, 3rd and 19 a number of times in that game because of penalties. I thought that Brian Schottenheimer, like, this is, if you were like, yo, why did nobody hire Brian Schottenheimer, and why were so many people down on him? You put on this game.
Yeah, I didn't ask that.
Yeah.
I never.
Well, I know, but there were some people that were, and I think, honestly, we talked about it earlier in this week, like, oh, maybe we should have given him more of a shot. No, these are the things here that you started seeing. No,
again,
this
is truly one of those, both things are true.
Sure.
You're right. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. But boy, in moments like that, you need a guy like that. And by the way, everybody's talking about how much money he's costing himself. Sometimes I think that's overstated. I don't know if it's overstated in his case.
Yeah, well, he's going to be a real interesting test case. Yeah. Like, how do you handle him? Because the talent is undeniable, and even the production this year has been undeniable. But that tape that we saw, and not even tape, just like live, you don't have to be a tape cruncher, film watcher to be able to just watch the game, and that didn't exactly look
down
right.
10.
Your point, though, about could these things rear its ugly head for the Texans is, I think, a really good one.
Oh, yeah.
Because all three of those are real legitimate concerns for the Texans.
Fourth down 10, the Cowboys decide to kick the field goal and decide to lean on their defense. I think there's people, and of course, it didn't work out. You end up with Jahmyr Gibbs running to the end zone again after. Did y'all see him absolutely abusing number 26, Deron Bland, out there?
Mm-hmm. I did.
I was like, he got to go
just
fight
shoved him.
Him
down.
Like, well, that was after he diced that man up and had him fly out to the sideline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
Which was documented perfectly and terribly by that side pylon cam. And I'm like, I need more of this. But people were getting after Schottenheimer in that instance for kicking the field goal. Did y'all have that same feeling? Like, hey, put it on your offense in this moment?
Yes.
That's a conversation that, again, kind of tracks a little bit back to Houston in some ways and how we talked about their aggression lack thereof.
See, for me, this is where it's different, though, between the two teams. Like, sure. I want, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm criticizing that decision, and I want to put the ball in the hands of the offense because their offense is one of the better, honestly, in football, despite their record or, you know, them being an oddly 501 team or however you want to look at it. But then the Texans, they actually have the defense to put the money where the mouth is in this, so to speak, right? Like, if you're going to put it back in the hands of the defense or trust your defense or play ball control or conservative, the Texans are more equipped and uniquely built to play the conservative ball control type of game than I think that the Cowboys are, because their offense, for one, is so good, and their defense is notably not the Texans' defense.
Yes.
Fair enough. I see you on the text line, 281. They said it was bad last night. I'm going to lose my fantasy football playoffs because the guy's kicker had 24 points. That guy is Brandon Aubrey. This is a stat that I saw that was hilarious to me. Shout out to Roger Sherman. In his three NFL seasons, Brandon Aubrey has made as many career 60-yard field goals, 6 of 9, for 66.7%. as every NFL kicker from 1960 to 2008.
That reminds me, I lied earlier. The only time I got up to look away from the game was when Brandon Aubrey got up to kick because I knew,
like,
what time it was.
Yeah,
like 60
done.
Yard.
Chip
he
shot.
Went 3 over 50, right?
Yes.
And then the one was like a 47, 48 yarder, I think.
Dude, he hit a 63 yarder in this game, and there was a point in time where that was like the standard. That was the long.
That was Tom Dempsey.
For decades.
Decades, yeah.
And he hit that with leg to spare.
Yeah.
We've gotten to a crazy place
Dude
in the game
yeah,
on kicking.
Crazy.
I would also like to do a little bit of an extrapolation or ask you guys about this, because you mentioned George Pickens, and when you were, like, talking about marveling, The one thing that we have not talked about that you can marvel about was the quote unquote pass interference that was called. That was clearly awful. It was just, it wasn't even hand fighting. It was just basic navigation of the field. And it ruined an opportunity for the Cowboys. Not that anybody's crying over here, but are we in a bad place with NFL officiating, or is this just the normal complaints that we typically have?
Yes. Yes and yes.
Okay.
Because so Tony Dungy made the point earlier, I think. He was saying this on Twitter that it is, because I think it was Chase Daniel that was saying, hey, they don't, you know, favoritism for one team or another. Yeah. And Tony Dungy's pointing out, like, this is not about favoritism. It's about an inconsistency in either point of view or training or whatever it may be for the referees. Like, the difference in interpretation per crew, mm-hmm. where you got maybe, like, through, if you got 16 crews on a given week, 10 of them might call that a pass interference. 5 of them might let them play. Another one might call it the other way. Like, there's just not enough consistency across the board. Never mind this idea of favoritism of a team or favoritism of a home team or anything like that. It's just the inconsistency of how the rules are applied.
It's that. It's so many things. I mean, it's that. It's the lack of, you know, full-time referees, which we don't need to get into that, but I think it does matter. I think it's also the way the play, a particular play, looks.
Yeah.
Like, if a guy falls down, and this happened in the Texans game, you know, with the hand fight, that shouldn't have been pass interference.
Right.
But the guy fell down, so the referee's inclination is to think, well, that must be pass interference.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. The dude might have just fallen down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is not to get corny about it, but this is truly the human element of the game.
Yes.
Where things are open to interpretation. So another example would have been, and I think I changed my tune once I saw a different replay, but the safety that wasn't a safety, or the non-safety that I thought was a safety.
Early on in this game?
I would have been sure that that was a safety on Dak Prescott.
Yes.
Now, it ended up showing a replay that had me change my tune, but in the moment, I'm watching the replays that they're giving us and that they're looking at. They changed the call, and I'm like, that's a safety to me.
That's another one that reminded me of a Texans game.
Yeah. I mentioned that to my girl while I was watching the game. Yeah. So, like, this is just the human element of the game that's a little bit unfortunate if you're on the wrong end of it, but it does make it fun to talk about.
That actually reminds me. I think that's why it's important that going into every game, you have an understanding of what the crew is and what kind of biases they might come in with, or just tendencies. We'll talk about that as we go on the day. That's around the NFL. Oh man, I didn't even mention the fact that the NFL made note of the fact that they will mandate new playing surfaces for all stadiums in 2028 from obviously tested surfaces, both synthetic, hybrid, and natural. They're going to have a new standard that comes into place in 2028. So we'll talk about that more when we have opportunity. But you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Shout out to the man B. Scott sitting in with us here in this 11 o'clock hour. And whenever he does that, we got to find out what B. Scott's got on his mind. Let's do some B. Scott's thoughts next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good.
like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You hear the intro song, B. Scott in the building, and it's time to get B. Scott's thoughts. I imagine that they're going to focus incredibly closely to the World Cup final draw that is happening live right now on the television.
Is it happening? I'm getting more and more upset.
Well, I mean,
all this pomp and
the draw itself. Well, it's literally the biggest sporting event in the world.
Okay, let's get to it.
You have to do the pomp and circumstance.
You sound like the guy during the Super Bowl halftime show that's like, what is this Kendrick Lamar? What is this Bad Bunny?
Get them back on the field playing football.
I don't want to see the weekend.
Who are these schmucks that are singing in a different language?
get off the stage, Dr. Dre. Yeah,
let's see the draw.
Come on now.
It is taking for them.
It's forever.
To get this role. Also, I forgot, Kevin Hart's here for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, because what does Kevin Hart miss? What big event is Kevin Hart
is
not
true.
Attending?
No, I hear you.
He's got to be the smallest man that is everywhere.
He will accept the paycheck. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I just don't understand why they were like, soccer.
He's the comedian Snoop Dogg, pretty much.
Yeah.
Got to be everything.
He's a good hang.
Heidi Klum up there.
He's a good hang.
Towering over Chris Rock.
Towering and put together, might I say.
Yes,
that is the way that I will say that. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, man.
It's so funny, though. Like, Kevin Hart's got to be the smallest man that covers the most space.
That's right.
Because, like, he's everywhere, you know, literally. Yeah. Everywhere you can't, he's unavoidable. I'm not trying to avoid. I like Kevin Hart.
It's like I said about Patrick Mahomes yesterday. He's the fastest, slow looking guy I've ever seen.
That's a good point.
He looks slow.
It's something about his walk.
Even
the way he stands, he looks very unathletic. Yeah. And then is he like
bow legged or something?
He's got maybe
or like duck footed kind
either
of something like
bow legged. I don't know if he's bow legged, pigeon toed, or like knock kneed. Or okay. Some combination of the
yeah,
three.
Yeah, some level of hem and haw in there.
But something's going on.
I'm going to say something, and you're going to think that it was me that said this, but it was not. It was in a text conversation from a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm. That's what they all said.
Sure it was.
I know I'm going to get the brunt of this. When we were talking about this yesterday, and a buddy of mine texted me during the show and said, he has women's hips.
He does.
He does?
He does.
He has women's hips.
I don't know what I was expecting, but I was not ready for that. Yes, no, it's fine. I have no pushback.
So we should probably get to your thoughts, huh?
I've got thoughts. No more thoughts on that one.
Okay, fair.
So my main thought is this weather thing, okay? It's fine having the conversation because it's relevant to the game. It's going to be colder than any game that the Texans have played all year. And notably, the Texans do not play or even live and operate. If you know you play here in Houston, you don't live and operate.
They're inside
in a cold environment. It was, you said this earlier in the show, Lopez, it was 50 something yesterday and we were all acting like bitches. We were a lot of us anyway. I know I was.
I pulled out the jacket with the lining on.
Oh yeah, the fur lining. Yeah.
Hey man, I cut some of my bad habits behind the cold.
You couldn't get outside?
Man, I went back inside and just said, we're going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to figure out something else to do.
So let me go get a nicotine patch because outside don't work.
This ain't going to be it at all. And so to that point, not to say that it's not relevant, but I just don't have a whole lot of patience for it in terms of excuse making. Or here's how I look at it. If this team, if this iteration of the Texans is not perfectly, specifically, and uniquely built and equipped to handle the cold weather, I don't know what Texans team will be. Now, this is, we've been having this conversation all year. Is this the best Texans defense that we've ever seen?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're there at this point. This is probably the best Texans defense we've ever seen. It's not the best overall team, I don't feel like, that we've ever seen. It's hard to say that, especially given the record.
Mm-hmm.
So they might have better teams at some point. They might even somehow put together a better defense. But the combination of ball control, possess the ball,
mm-hmm.
line of scrimmage, let's run the ball kind of offense and a dominant defense, the best defense in the league. That combination to me fits perfectly, especially for a warm weather city football team to be able to go out in a cold weather environment. Because if you're serious, if we're really talking about playing football, beyond just the first round or trying to get to the AFC Championship game for the first time. Like, at some point, unless you're going to do all the games at NRG Stadium, at some point you are going to have to go out there and prove that you can play in cold weather cities in these type of environments. And so, to me, this is the ideally built Texan squad to go out there and do that. So I don't have a whole lot of patience for being concerned.
Weather's going to affect them.
Yeah, I mean, the weather's going to suck, man. Nobody likes the cold. I don't care if you're from Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I don't believe them people. Mm-hmm. They're out there and they're going through it and they're toughing it out. But I don't believe that they really like it. I can't believe that nobody really likes it. But you got to go out there and at least handle business for the 3 hours that you're out there. And I think a team like this that's not built air raid, let's stretch the ball downfield the way we know C.J. Stroud wants to do. Mm-hmm. Nah, they're running the ball, dinking and dunking, and allowing their defense to take over the game. And that should be a winning formula.
Especially when we're not talking about precipitation. That's the thing when we start talking about weather.
Or wind.
Right? Wind?
The wind, yes. I looked at it. It's like 10 to 15. That's nothing.
Which is manageable, right? That feels pretty standard fare for any football game that's played outdoors. Right. If we're not talking about rain, snow, sleet, hail, if we're not talking about those things, when we're talking about weather and it's just cold, oh, we got things for that, right? CJ was talking about it, actually. He was asked specifically about it in his availability, mm-hmm. and he was like, I mean, it's not really a big thing. When you're on the field and you're playing football, we've all been in that circumstance where you go outside and then once you get moving, you don't feel it as much. On the sidelines, let me tell you, if you've not been there, those benches are fantastic. So they have the bottom portion of it. They've got like vents where it blows warm air.
Tuck your feet in them.
You can tuck your feet in them. And then those big coats that they have over them, like it lets the warm air get in there and circulate and stay in there. Those benches themselves, when you sit down on them, are heated.
Yeah.
They are taken care of when they're on the sideline, when they're on the field. In fact, CJ said the only thing that really makes you cold is when those breaks happen and you're just standing out there on the field.
Hey,
and there's not going to be a ton of those.
I know all about that life. Figgy, you remember when we went to the Army-Navy game a few years ago?
Oh, y'all was on the sideline?
This show goes every year.
Yeah.
I went one
this
year.
This is in Philly.
When we went to Philly, and if it had not been for those warm, heated benches, I wouldn't have made it.
They are really good too, man, because you think it's just warming your butt up, but mm-mm. your whole body get warm.
I sat on one for 45 minutes straight. 45 minutes straight. Did
the kicker
not get
had
up.
To move you.
Yes. It literally took the army. An army had to come out there and get me up off them benches. So I know all about that life. I'm 100% with
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
As y'all mentioned, no wind, no precipitation, dominant defense. And then, to me specific to this game, it's special that you're going up against a Kansas City Chiefs team that's leaking oil now,
mm-hmm.
right? This is probably the worst iteration of the Chiefs that you faced, and it's the best defense, right? So, like, when we think the Chiefs, obviously they've had great defenses over the years, helped them win the Super Bowl, but we think Patrick Mahomes, we think Andy Reid, and so how do you combat that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, this is the perfect defense to do that, and then they ain't really necessarily what they've been in previous years. So if you want to call it a perfect storm, if you will, this defense, that offense not necessarily being what it is, going up there in any – if you're going to go up there and it be cold, this is the time and this is the situation to do it.
But they have to be able to run the ball even just a little bit.
And I think that they can.
Even just a little bit.
Did you hear what I was talking about with the duo? Because I was –
because they stick it out of their skin?
Yeah.
Gonna be tough.
Well, I gotta remember who it was to be able to attribute it properly. But I saw a graphic that was pointing to the styles of, you know, the run schemes the teams are running, and I think it was Brian Burke at ESPN. And the Texans are one of probably about five teams that utilize a lot of duo. We've seen that a lot up front with them, you know, kind of having two guys block one guy on the line and getting up to the next level. So I went and I was looking at Kansas City and I was like, who have they played that maybe has run some duo that I can maybe see how they handle it. And the closest that I could find was when they played the Broncos a few weeks ago. And I went and I watched all their run reps. And when they ran duo with the defense for Kansas City, they didn't get moved off their spot, which is good for Kansas City, but they also didn't shed the blocks.
Right.
So if they're not moving, but they're not shedding and able to reach out and stop the run, the Broncos were able to pick up three, kind of consistently. Does that not sound like what this Texas team would love to do? Just if you can get three or four, just by making sure that you sustain that block at the front, at the first level, maybe get to the second level. They're not going to shed it. You pick up three, pick up four at a time every time you run the football. That'd be success for this team.
Yeah, and I would point out that the Chiefs' defensive line is notably unremarkable outside of Chris Jones, who's got a little, I'm not going to say he got George Pickens in him. But it ain't that far off. Like, and you can ask Ron the Show Hughley about this, somebody that watches every single snap of Kansas City. Chris Jones will disappear a time or two here or there. The thing is, he's been a part of Super Bowl teams and has had way bigger moments than George Pickens, and so you don't necessarily think about it like that. But specific to the game again, like, so the Texans running the ball, I think, is going to be really key, obviously, in a ball control situation. But my next thought was going to be an acknowledgement of this offensive line. Like, to your point about duo and how much success that they're having with that, they're a lot better in the run game, and a lot due to the duo that, that some of these tactics that they've been using as of late. But then also the protection as well. And we don't think this is going to be one of those, you know, huge, heavy passing game type of situation for the Texans. But you look over the last couple of weeks, the last few weeks since they've been rocking with this specific offensive line, I think the offensive line changes the conversation, and how they've been playing, to me, changes the conversation about the team overall. They still have some penalty issues.
Right.
Of course, C.J. Stroud was sacked a couple of times this last game, but they had no sacks given up against the Bills. And then at least one of the sacks against the Colts was a C.J. Stroud thing. And we know C.J. Stroud kind of has that issue, whether it's holding on to the ball sometimes or running into a sack or running too far back or whatever the case may be. He also had some plays where he dirts the ball. I think D'Amico Ryans talked about this on the coach's show earlier in the week. That kind of showed some growth in that area. But that is a little bit of a weakness in his game at times. And so, but the point that I'm making here is that I think the offensive line is a lot better, and that's something that needs and requires acknowledgement when you start talking about this offense, the Texans offense specifically, taking that next step, and I think that they've done that. I don't know how y'all are feeling about this combination of offensive line, but I'm feeling a lot better about as somebody who is not a fan of moving Tytus Howard from tackle to guard and hate how they yo-yo the guy throughout his entire career. It seems like this happens every year. Got to admit, it's working right now. It looks pretty good.
It's the best version of what this offensive line could be, and it's the best personnel. You know, D'Amico, how often we heard D'Amico say, just get the five best out there. I think they finally, after 11 weeks or whatever it was, 10 weeks, got their best five.
Yeah. And I want to give credit, because I try and make sure I give credit on the other side of maybe not being as glowing about certain things. Got to give credit to, one, the belief that's there. Shout out to the fellas of The Drive. They interviewed Trent Brown yesterday, big old Trent Brown, who expressed pretty glowingly his belief in the system that I imagine is pretty mirrored by all those guys. And, you know, belief is a huge thing in getting anything done. It's the first step. But secondarily, their technique is so much better. And you got to bring that to Cole Popovich. And I thought there was questions about, like, all right, he was already in the building. What, you know, how are you actually going to see a difference? The minutia of, like, getting those technicalities right, that's showing up. You're seeing the benefits of that when they have the right dudes that have the other things that can help elevate that. And I think all those things have come together to a much more sustainable offensive line.
Yeah, and I agree. Cole Popovich deserves a lot of credit, and I think where he was getting sold short when they promoted him from assistant offensive line coach to the actual offensive line coach was kind of just overlooking the fact that the assistant does not have he gets input. They might ask his opinion, but they are not required to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the difference. It wasn't a matter of this guy was in the building. It was a matter of this guy was not in charge of anything, and now he is. Right. And we're seeing the fruits of that labor.
After some time, it's come to bear. All right, those are B. Scott's thoughts here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Quit talking about all that damn cold. It's not going to matter. All right, you're in the Loop. Coming up next, let's get you what's popping. I'll see if we've found anything out about the FIFA World Draw. But also, let's talk about a little bit of Rockets. They're playing tonight against the Suns. We'll do all that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. This has become a morbid curiosity here in the studio because, no, we still don't have, after 44 minutes of stuff, whether it was singing, awarding peace prizes.
Are you not entertained?
I'm not. Looking at Heidi Klum, I am.
We
haven't found out a single thing about the World Cup and who plays where, which is fine. It's all good. But what we have found out today is Kamari Lassiter was out at practice. However,
on the side,
asterisk, caveat, he was on the side working off to the side. And this is a walkthrough day at NRG Stadium as the fellas get ready for Texans Chiefs. So how do we feel about Kamari Lassiter right now, knowing that he is a large part of what this team's identity is defensively?
Dude is just tough, man. He's a dog. And so I got a hard time believing it. Like, if he can walk and, like, move normally, like anything close to normally, I think he's going to play. I remember back in the day, early 2000s, Shaq used to make it. I forget whatever injury Shaq was starting to go through with the Lakers, but he would quote his dad and say, man, my dad used to tell me if you can walk, you can run, and if you can run, you can play, which is not necessarily how it works.
Oh, no, and it's hilarious to hear that coming from Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Mr. I got hurt playing on company time, so I'm going to recover on company time.
And oh, by the way, it's not true.
It's not true at all.
It's not true.
But I can see irrational competitors viewing it that way. And Kamari Lassiter is somebody that I could absolutely see viewing the world in some similar lens. Like, hey, man, I can walk. I can run. I can play. Mm-hmm. Not an exact science, probably not even logic, but I could see it. So I would be surprised if Kamari Lassiter does not play. I am just more curious to see how effective and or hampered is he by his injury. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be out there, though.
I would be interested in seeing him out there, and I talked about this yesterday with you, Lopez. The Colts game, especially with Alec Pierce and the speed that he has, I felt like I started to see, the foot speed difference shows up in a little bit more here.
But to be fair, Alec Pierce is a burner.
Right. Yeah.
That dude is a burner.
Would you like to check the Chiefs' step chart?
You know, they got burners. I'm familiar with
that. That was the particular thought with me. It's not that I think he could get got all the damn time, because clearly that's not the case. Fantastic, and he's managed to make us all look silly for even having real big thoughts about that foot speed conversation. I think in this particular circumstance, if he is hampered in that foot, that's where I go, oh, okay. Not saying that it's going to topple this defense by any means, because that'd be asinine, but it's just like, how does that change the margin in a game?
Does it change the approach?
Where it's slow margin? Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it absolutely could, but I would also say, just in terms of his importance, some of the other stuff that I was talking about earlier about being uniquely built for this type of game, the weather, like who do you want more on your defense in a game like this, where it seems like toughness and will and determination matters more, maybe in most games, maybe whereas it sounds cliche in more games than it does in this one because of the cold, because of that circumstance. You want guys like Kamari Lassiter,
yes.
Azeez Alshire, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Like, these are the types of players that, to me, are specifically built for this type of game. Now, the foot is going to be an obvious question, and like I said, I'm going to be watching out for it. I am curious, like you said, Lopez, how does it change the approach?
Yeah.
But he absolutely has got to be out there one way or another. He's a football player, so you find a way. His foot speed is being hampered. All right, well, maybe he's the safety today. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but maybe we just do something different with him today. Maybe we alter our coverage, but we want Kamari Lassiter in the mix somehow, some way.
If he doesn't play, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, the whole dynamic of what you're doing defensively changes. You know,
to some degree, I think that they do what they do. It's just going to be, hey, here's Tremont Smith over here, and our team's more comfortable trying to take attacks over there. Now, the question then becomes, how capable are the Chiefs in doing that, considering that it's quite possible that they're missing three of their starting offensive linemen, mm-hmm. and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. are on ass.
Yeah. I mean, with Kamari's foot injury, do you feel better about him instead of having to keep up with burners like Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy? Do you just feel better about him lining up closer to the line of scrimmage and maybe guarding the more physical players like the tight ends and, mm-hmm. you know, like make him more of a slot corner? And that brings in the question, what do you do exactly with Jalen Petrie? Like, it is an odd numbers game if you have to adjust your game plan with Kamari, but he's absolutely somebody that I got to have out there if he's ready to go.
It's one of those things that I'll wrap it up here, is I think it's an interesting thing to think about. I wouldn't say I'm worried about it, but it's like, huh. Mm-hmm. This is a point of intrigue for me as we go into Sunday. Mm-hmm. So definitely you want to listen 4:20 p.m. on Sunday when Texans Countdown starts with Sean and Seth. They'll give you all the insight, and they will lead you up to kickoff. And that's going to be one of the things that's going to be of great intrigue. Is Kamari Lassiter ready to go in this game? Is he going to give it a shot? We mentioned the Rockets. The Rockets are welcoming in the Phoenix Suns tonight at Toyota Center. Now, you will not see Devin Booker. You will not see Jalen Green, both of them out. But you will see a man who has decided to become a different level of himself because his team has needed it, in Dylan Brooks. What are you looking for from this game tonight, B. Scott?
Well, start off with the Dylan Brooks tribute video. And shout out to Dylan Brooks for his two-year tenure here with the Rockets that I think was probably more influential in culture changing and culture setting than I think most people gave it credit for. So shout out to Dylan Brooks, but I am looking for them to beat up on a Suns team that is better than I think most people thought it would be, but does not have its best player. Now, you might question a little bit with the way that Dylan Brooks has been playing.
Okay. Like,
is Dylan Brooks their best player these days? If you want to do that. But I think a Dylan Brooks led Phoenix Suns team should be doomed at Toyota Center with these guys. So I'm looking for a lot of more of the same, at least in terms of how I saw them, in the most recent game against the Kings, kind of righting the wrong against the Jazz on the second end of that back-to-back. Yeah, I want them to beat up on the good, on the bad teams.
Kevin Durant getting
as they
the stare?
Should.
Is Kevin Durant getting the stare down?
Yes. No, well, it's not even that is, to be fair, Dylan, everybody's getting that stare down.
But it's always the star, you know, that he really sort of.
I feel like he's literally, I mean, maybe it is, but I feel like he's just doing that. Like, he's staring in the space, and he's in his own world.
I'm having a hard time remembering, because obviously these teams have played before. They just played in Phoenix, was it a couple weeks ago?
But Durant wasn't there.
And that's fair. Yeah, but I'm trying to remember what the mugging process was like, or what the kind of, because they got physical.
Right, Durant didn't go to that. That was one when he had his family.
He had his family issue.
Yeah. So that was last week, early last week. And Amen Thompson is still wearing that patch on his chin from when Nick Richards hit him, went him upside his head. So, I'm interested to see just how physical it continues to get.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the things that after that game, I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That used to be the Rockets, and it's not quite them anymore. Yeah. Which, speaking of, we don't have time for it. I was about to jump into the Amen thing.
Well, I was about to jump into the Amen thing.
You got it, big dog.
Because you asked, what are we looking to see? I am waiting to see. Maybe it doesn't happen in this game. Maybe it doesn't happen in the next game. Maybe it doesn't happen until a month from now. Maybe it doesn't happen until after the All-Star break. But I am interested to see, at what point do the Rockets acknowledge where Amen Thompson is at his best right now?
I think they're acknowledging it.
Like, are they going to – do they still want him – how much on-ball action do you really want from Amen Thompson, or do you want to kind of put him back into the role where he was excelling last year and kind of just focus on him in a dunker spot and off ball and sort of just allowing him to thrive that way? Do you get a better version? Do they think they get a better version of Amen Thompson by doing that?
Aren't they kind of acknowledging it now just in how they're playing?
A little bit. There's a lot of Kevin Durant pseudo point guard happening.
Yeah. No, I think you're seeing that transition. And so, but of course, Amen Thompson still has the ball in his hand quite a bit. So, and that's was a lot of the heart of the issue, I thought, in the first half, which is funny because he had a really good first half, but where he wasn't good was when he's got the ball, but he's missing point blank shots at the rim. And, you know, obviously still doesn't have a credible jump shot. So, yeah, no, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they make that adjustment with Amen Thompson.
Excited to see it. And finally, the final draw, the draw for the World Cup is starting to happen now. I'll give you some updates as to what it actually means for the United States of America and also for the city of Houston. Who will
I think the sites are going to be announced tomorrow.
Are they going to be announced tomorrow?
Yeah, this is the draw. If I saw, I'll look it up. But this is the draw of the groups, and the actual sites are going to be tomorrow. They're dragging this.
All right. Yeah, of course they are. But we knew about POTS or anything. Yeah. I'll talk about that later. But the FIFA thing that I did want to say is I think we got a little bit of a win, generally, if you want to go and watch some of these teams play at what they will call Houston Stadium, I imagine.
Yeah.
FIFA has backed away from a plan that they had to use dynamic pricing. Or tickets.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with the concept of dynamic pricing, it's just that, you know, especially within our ever-growing data world, that, you know, the prices would shift depending on various different factors when you went to buy them, which, as you might imagine, for a lot of people, and I don't think you can imagine prices going down, but they can go up, right? And so that was a little daunting in what is already an exorbitant price line in World Cup tickets. That would have been really tough to get into some matches if you were hoping to do that. It seems like FIFA is walking away from that for the World Cup 2026.
Yeah, ticket acquisition has been one of the more fascinating parts about this whole World Cup process for me. Mm-hmm. Like some of the stuff that places like Verizon has done, like some of the exclusive offers to get tickets. I have found the ticket acquisition aspect of this to be one of the more fascinating pre-World Cup aspects of the entire process.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously they're trying to temper back on what has been just absolutely outrageous pricing.
Yeah.
It, make no mistake, it's still going to be extremely high.
Without question.
It's still going to be extremely high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, B. Scott, appreciate you giving us a little bit of time on this Friday.
Always fun, man.
Always a pleasure to have you in. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, there's a few statistics or kind of things about this game between the Texans and the Chiefs. And I want to ask you, Lopez, and I want to ask you, listener, are these things something, nothing, or everything? Let's do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.